Property managers may be the most underappreciated group in real estate. Today we talk with a longtime property manager who's managed up to 800 units in Southwest Florida about the pitfalls and rewards of the profession. We all know that property managers wear lots of hats, but as you'll hear, there's even more to the professional property management business than we may think. Here's our discussion with Tommy Senator, beginning right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sanville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am your host, Jim Sanville. This is the show where we talk about real estate. We talk about it mainly from the perspective of the realtor, but there is going to be content in this show. If you listen to a number of episodes, you will find something of interest to you, even if you're not a realtor. If you're a home buyer, home seller, you're going to want to know about this stuff that the realtors know about, so you are a knowledgeable consumer. In fact, if you live in a house, you're going to find something of interest to you. And we're coming to you from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful and sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here today with a special guest who I'll introduce in just a moment. But first, let's check in with our producer, Jerry Johnson. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Jimmy.
How's everything?
Everything's good.
Everything is?
Yeah. How's things with you?
It's good, good, good. How are you liking this weather, huh?
Oh, it's one of my favorite times of year.
Yeah, this is awesome. Yep. I've always said November is my favorite month.
Yeah, we had a nice little cool front come in a couple days ago. It's starting to warm back up, but let's get another one on the way.
Oh, I just love it. Daylight saving time coming up, too. Don't forget this weekend.
Oh, good.
Get an extra hour's sleep. So that'll be good. That'll be good. If you're listening to the show, that probably just happened for you. So I hope you enjoyed your extra hour of time. Why not spend it listening to the Royal Palmcast? We have a catalog of back episodes, which we think you will enjoy. Like I said, we have a great guest in the studio today. He's been with us before. He is a member of the association. His name is Tommy Senator. Welcome, Tommy.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for having me back again.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We're going to talk, last time you were on, we talked about tax liens and deeds, and you gave us some really, really cool tips and tricks about how to get into that world as an investor, which you've done. But we're going to shift gears a little bit for this one and talk about property management, because you have expertise in that realm as well, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Tell me about property management. How long have you been doing that?
So the first time becoming a landlord was back in 1987, so it's going back a lot of years, you know, more than I want to count. I've had
34.
All types of 34 years. I'm not that old. How could it be 34 years?
The math doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
He's only 25.
I know.
It's like crazy.
Black holes. I don't know what's going
back
on
to the
here.
Future.
Yeah, back to the future. So, yeah, I've seen everything. I've had every kind of tenant. We've gone through every type of property. And one of the things we mostly focused on was more affordable housing and low-income housing. And when I began, like a lot of investors, they want to deal with these government-funded subsidies like Section 8, mm-hmm. right, or the rental assistance program.
They want to.
They do, because they know that the government's going to guarantee the payment every month. Usually it's on the fourth of the month you get a check, and it's going to be a little bit higher than if you went to the general public, except they don't realize the strings that are attached. Anytime you're dealing with the government, it's not always a great thing. Mm. And what I discovered is they're going to do spot inspections, usually every 6 months, sometimes even before that. And if the property doesn't pass the inspection and you don't get it fixed within, usually it's 5 days, they hold that payment. And if they hold that payment, you don't ever get it, so it's gone.
So they're looking at roofs as well as general condition of interiors and plumbing and systems?
They look at everything, and believe it or not, they're going to even look at screens. If the screens are not on the window, you got to replace them. If you don't replace them in time, you forfeit that month's payment.
According to the guidelines, it's right there. You agreed to it.
Exactly, because you got to sign their contract and the tenant signs theirs. And we thought, well, you know, if we go and we tell them that the tenant's doing damage, well, they'll get kicked off the program, and they won't do that because they want to stay on the program, and we discovered that it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It's really hard for a tenant to get kicked off the program.
Really?
And it's strange. We've seen that. We always thought it's a subsidy, right? So they're going to go and give them part of the rent payment. And we've had most tenants where they got 100% rent subsidy. So they were paying nothing.
Jeez.
You know, and it just, we decided that we didn't want to do that anymore. We'd just rather deal with the general public. And we discovered, for the most part, now, more than half of people on Section 8 are wonderful people. So I don't want you to think that they're all bad. And as your regular tenants, you know, 25% of them are probably really bad too. So we got the same conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always being careful. But we've seen if you take care of your property, the tenants will probably take care of it and pay on time.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take care of it, and we know that slang, they're called slumlords, you won't get your payments.
All right. Now, we should probably back up just a little bit and explain what property management is, in case anyone is not familiar with that field. From my perspective, the way I see it, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Tommy, and you can elaborate on this. But let's say I buy a duplex, and I live up north, and I get the duplex here as an investment. I want to rent it out. We have tenants. I can call Tommy or another property manager and say, take care of everything and send me a check once a month or whatever it is, right? And you do it soup to nuts?
Exactly. So we'll have what they call an exclusive right to our property management agreement, exclusive right to list a property for rentals and leasing. And we'll do that from start to finish. So if it needs repairs, we'll take care of it. To find a tenant, we'll take care of it. Even when they decide they don't want to have a rental anymore and they want to sell it, well, we could help them do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we take away all the problems and we try to separate the owners from the tenants. We don't want the tenants contacting the owners. Now, I've seen some real estate brokers that do property management. They have the tenants paying the owner directly, which means now the tenant has direct contact with the owner, and it doesn't make any sense, because if we're doing property management, it means we're managing it. So we're going to manage a property for another person, and we're going to get a fee. And the fees, again, are all over the board. I know some companies that charge 5%. I know there's some that charge 15%. We decided we'd do 10%, and everything we do is just 10%.
Mm. Yeah. I rented a house in Lakeland a few years ago for 2 or 3 years, and I couldn't tell you the name of the owner. I never met the owner and didn't know the name. I dealt exclusively with a very professionally operated management company, and they were wonderful to deal with. They had a portal for to pay the rent and to submit requests for maintenance, that kind of thing. It was great. Lots of services from the tenant's perspective there. Lots of value.
And that's really good. And that's, so we do the same thing. So we have a software program where the tenants can go online, and everybody has a tenant portal. They can go online and make their monthly rent payments, and I'll get notified that it's been paid, and it'll show up on their ledger. They can also put in a work order, you know, for service calls.
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong. They type it in, and then I get an email saying, hey, you know, the water heater's leaking, or the faucet's leaking, or the door doesn't close right. Well, then I can go right online through our software, and I can go pick out which vendor is going to be doing that repair and assign it to the vendor immediately, and they'll usually contact a tenant within 24 hours. Unless it's an emergency, then I'm going to pick up the phone and say, hey, I just sent you a work order. The water heater just exploded. The water's all over. You know, I'm going to shut the water off. Can you go replace it real quick? But yeah, it's just, it's trying to be proactive. And we did a lot of stuff in New Jersey. And I remember one of the properties I had was at 191 Monticello Avenue. I remember this building so vividly. It was in the middle of the hood. I mean, it was just all the storefronts had the metal rolled down cages, right? So everybody had steel doors in front. And if you had any kind of apartments on the ground floor, they had steel over the windows, those bars. And we decided that we're going to go fix this up really nice. So not just make it livable, but make it extremely nice.
Mm.
So we had, you know, and a lot of those places up there have vestibules because the winters are really cold. So you got to come in and you have the outside door. And when you come inside there, that's where the mailbox would be. And we decided instead of putting two steel doors, the second door into the hallway would be a 9-panel glass light door. And the entrance hallway where the stairs were had about a 20-foot ceiling. So we hung a really fancy chandelier there just to give it some looks. You know, we put all new doors. We did all the windows over, new kitchens, bathrooms. We basically remodeled the entire place. We discovered, because we took such great care in getting it prepared well, that the tenants were taking care of the properties. And during the holidays, they actually got together and decorated all the hallways, like for Christmas. They had garland up. They had Christmas ornaments. And it was really nice to see that they took care of it. And if a tenant did something wrong, another tenant would call me because they wanted the property to stay as nice as when they moved in. So that was our first lesson, that if you take care of it like it's our own home, the tenant most likely would take care of as well.
Yeah, so you sort of model the behavior, and that generates that kind of goodwill and good vibe, and it's all the better for everyone. Now, did the properties surrounding that particular one, that problem place, did they get nicer? Was there pressure on them to spruce things up?
So it's funny you ask that question, because I usually don't get that question. So we owned two properties on that block, and we fixed them up identically, beautiful.
Oh, nice.
And it did. It was this infection that had gone through, and all the other properties started doing the same thing, because now we're getting really high rents, and they're not.
Ah.
I was getting $1,000 a month. They're getting $500.
So this is gentrification.
It was. And we decided we'd join, they had it called a Monticello Avenue Steering Committee for beautification of that neighborhood, and we joined it, and everybody started jumping on board, and it changed that whole neighborhood right around.
Wow. So hopefully you were smart enough to invest in all those surrounding properties.
I did. We owned about 7 properties in that area.
Did you really?
We bought – so the one I had, it was a 6-unit building, so I had 4 apartments and 2 stores. Funny enough is, you know, I bought that property for $35,000. You know, and that was like our previous section, right? So that was a tax lien that I ended up getting the property, and it needed 100% renovation. So it took me close to about $80,000 in materials to fix that building up. And one of my biggest advantages and fortes is, you know, my prior life, I was a general contractor. So I can fix things very easily. So I would spend my nights and weekends on this property. So it took us about a year to remodel this entire building. And after a year was done, we were getting about $6,000 a month rent. And what I decided to do is, because we wanted to buy that other one down the block, I decided, well, let's refinance that building since we own it outright, because there was no mortgage on it. We got it for $35,000. We put $100 into it. I got a mortgage for $200,000. So I was able to go and take that $200,000 money I got, because it's a cash out refinance, and I bought 2 more properties.
Wow.
And it just kept snowballing. So one property could lead to others.
So that was in New Jersey. But you obviously manage properties here in Southwest Florida, right? You do a lot of that.
Right. So when we came here in 2004, we started buying some rental properties again because we're investor first, realtor second. And we decided to go and create our first property management company. And we started managing our own properties. Well, after a couple of years in dealing with clients and helping them buy properties, they wanted me to manage them. So we had to go become formalized, you know, actually have a broker and have licensed sales associates and form a proper property management company. Hmm. But like the way it works is you can be a property management company without anybody ever having a license as long as you're managing your own property.
Hmm.
So the requirement is if you do property management for another person, and for compensation, you must have a broker's license.
Hmm. So if I own a duplex and I live in one half, I can manage that. But if I own another duplex, I can't manage that one?
Do you have a real estate license?
No.
Then you don't need one. So if you're not licensed, you can do it on your own.
Okay.
So if a person has a real estate license, it becomes that gray area. You got to be careful.
Okay.
But if you're going to be doing it for yourself, most of the time it doesn't matter. I tell people, like, if you have a real estate license, you know, and you're a sales associate or broker, talk to your broker. Just run it through there just to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You probably didn't need to have a license if it's your own property. But sooner or later, someone's going to ask you, can you manage mine?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where some agents will get themselves in trouble. They say, well, you know, I've been doing it for myself for all these years. What's the big, you know, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. That's great. So I'm going to help my friend Dave manage his property. That's where you get in trouble.
So if I decide I want to hang a shingle and become a property manager, how do I prepare for that? What are the requirements to do that?
So they have some courses that, you know, I know we offer here. It's called the CFRM, Certified Florida Residential Managers. It's not a requirement to be a property manager, but it really gives you a lot of insight. Sure. It's a great program, so that's really good. You need to make sure you follow all the rules. You know, because we don't want FREC getting involved.
Right.
Because that's
the Florida Real Estate Commission.
The Florida Real Estate Commission.
Right.
If you do that, you'd be charged with unlicensed activity, which is 475-011A. I believe that's it.
Is that right, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So that's called the unlicensed real estate practice, being a broker without being a broker.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it for other people and you don't have a license, that's a third-degree felony.
Oh.
So we don't want any of those things happen.
That doesn't sound good.
No.
I don't want to test that.
But, you know, there's some people that don't have a license. Like, say you want to become a property management company, and you want to do it for hire. So all you need to do is hire a broker to certify your new property management company and have one licensed person on staff, like a sales associate, and then you can run a property management company.
Really? Huh. Now, as a tenant, I would think, I've never been a property manager, but I have been a tenant. I would think that, boy, that's property management is something that you could really get a lot of headaches, you know, doing that job day in and day out, dealing with people and their problems. What do you say to that?
It is. So
it's true.
it is so true. Gosh, I remember we had a couple of months. I talk about stories all day. I get a phone call from a tenant and said, you know, you need to come down and check the property. I'm like, well, why? Well, because there's police tape all over the front entrance.
I'm like, never a good sign.
I was like, what? Police tape? You got to be kidding. Oh, my gosh. So I get over there and it says, you know, police tape, you know, do not enter. You know, and it's been cut, so I know somebody went in there. And I'm opening up the front door, and I just see blood all over the front vestibule. Mm. I'm like, well, that's definitely never a good sign. And I'm looking at the stairs because it was two stories. And I'm looking up the stairs. I'm like, there's a trail of blood going up. So I'm thinking going up, right? Well, in reality, it was coming down.
Sure.
But I didn't know that. So I go up there, and it's like there's two doors adjacent to each other. So I know it's the door to the right because the person in the left called me. So I knock on the door. And she goes, well, yeah, it's over there. Just be careful. Be careful.
It's over there.
So I go knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Like, Elsa, and I jump back up. What the heck are you doing? You scared the heck out of me. And then the door just fell in because Someone had kicked it in. And the police, when they left, just leaned it back up.
And we
discovered was that the boyfriend from the girl that was my tenant had broke up with the boyfriend. He got mad. And he came back to the place, and the girl's brother was staying there just to watch the place. And since the brother wouldn't tell him where his sister was, he beat him up and threw him down the stairs.
Ooh. But he survived.
He survived,
thankfully.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So he
a couple gallons less blood.
Yeah, a couple contusions.
Wow.
I mean, thank the Lord he had no broken bones, because you fall down the stairs, it could be terrible.
All right, we'll call it a bloody nose.
Bloody nose.
We like to not get too gruesome.
Then I had another one where the tenant was on Section 8, and this was one of my really great tenants.
Mm-hmm. Subsidized,
really
housing,
good person. He just had medical issues.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And, you know, when he came in, he disclosed that he had AIDS. You know, that stuff doesn't bother me. He's like, you know, what's the big deal? It's just, he has a condition. You know, like you got a cult. So I rent to him, and not a big deal. You know, I'd go and I'd collect rent, and never, you know, I'm not worried about anything. Except I would call him, and like, there's no answer. Well, this is really weird. I know he has a home phone, and I know he doesn't go out that much, so I'm going to wait. And then I call up one of the tenants. I go, you know, and I forget the guy's name. We'll call him Dave. I said, you know, have you seen Dave lately? No, I haven't seen him. So, okay. So now we're going 2 months, and I haven't heard a thing, but the government's sending me checks. So, okay, so let me go find out what's going on. You know, and as a landlord, I always have a master key, right, because all landlords should have a key to the units. You know, and by reason of an emergency or concern, you have the right to go in, but you got to announce yourself, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going door, so I'm knocking on the door. Dave, you there? Dave. Knocking door. Dave, it's Tommy. Is anybody there? Hello? Knocking. Dave, it's Tommy. I'm coming in. So I open door, and I say, it's Tommy. I'm coming in. Because, you know, you want to announce. Because, well, what if they're in the shower? You know, you don't know. You don't want to surprise anybody because you get shot that way. And it was the hood, so you definitely get shot. And I walk in the living room, and there he is on the couch. Not moving. He had passed away.
Oh.
So I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh, my
and I got to call the police.
Oh,
and they got to get the coroner. So I'm there all day. And the next month, I get a check again. And they're like,
wow.
Okay, this isn't good.
Yeah.
I need to send this one back.
Yeah, good luck giving it back.
Yeah, so I sent it back. And he said, what's this for? I said, because the tenant died.
Yeah,
but we have a contract. I said, it's fine, but just take the check back. Because I know it's going to happen. They're going to do an audit. Say, wait a minute. The person died. You weren't supposed to get it. Now
that's
you owe
fraud.
Us the money.
That's fraud, Tommy.
That's fraud. Right? Yeah. Another felony. And, oh, by the way, we want $100 million of interest rates. So here's your check. So I just sent it back. Said, I'm like,
I don't want any part of that. No. Wow, boy. So that's you've seen other strange things as well?
Oh, so we had, so you know Pine Manor.
I'm not familiar with it, but
they refer to it as Crime Manor.
Crime Manor. Okay. So it's off Summerlin. So it's a little section. It's about 4 blocks wide by 10 blocks deep. It's very low income. And we had worked with an investor that owned about 16 duplexes in there. And I was always on call, right? So I'm the contact person for our brokerage. And I get a phone call from the sheriff's department and says, you know, do you represent the owner for this property? Yes, I do. Okay, so we have a problem here. I said, okay, yes, officer, what's the problem? He goes, well, you have a car over at the house. I said, so what's the problem? He goes, well, it's in your house. I said, we don't have a garage. He goes, exactly, the car's in your house. I said, officer, you're telling me the car is literally in my house. Yes, and you need to get down here now.
Wow.
Oh, boy. So I called the maintenance guy. I said, look, you need to come meet me at this address. And we get there. Sure enough, a Suburban had driven right through the house.
Couldn't have been a Fiat. Got to be a Suburban.
Got to be a big thing. And what it was is, again, it's always, these couples, right? So it was a girl broke up with her boyfriend, started dating another guy. This guy got very jealous, very angry. And he knew that the bedroom was in the front, and he was going to try to kill both of them. So took the car and drove right through the house.
Well, haven't we all done that, though, at some point in our lives, Jerry?
No.
So luckily that nobody was there, so nobody was hurt.
Yeah.
And we had to go secure the building. And that's the downside of being property management. And if you do it long enough, you can have tons of stories.
You must get a bit jaded after a while and say, I've seen it all. I'm like a cop, right?
Yeah, nothing that surprised me. Now, so here's the opposite. I had a lady. She was my tenant for at least 9 years. And her rent was just under $1,000 a month. She would pay the rent 2 days before the first every month. And if she paid it on the first, she would come to my house crying that she was so upset that she was late.
Wow, okay.
So it's just the two extremes. And
really?
It's just nice when you have both of those.
Huh. Wow, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, but most people are fine, right?
So you're going to have about good 80% are going to be your standard tenants.
Yeah.
They're going to typically wait the 5 days to pay the rent. They may or may not have excuses. They're going to always pay, but they're going to always have excuses every now and then. And you learn to adjust with it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But, so we're all recovering from this COVID, right? And we knew that they had put a moratorium on evictions.
Mm.
And do you think that some of these tenants knew about that?
I'm going to guess some leveraged that particular fact.
They did. And we were looking at that thinking, well, how do we combat that? How do we get ahead of the curve on this? And we were managing several properties at the time, and I talked to some of the owners, and I explained to them that there's a moratorium where we can't evict. And if they decide not to pay you, we can't do anything until this moratorium is going to be over, and we have no idea when the government's going to lift it. So it could be a year, could be 2 years, we don't know. So I said, let's try to be nice. I said, well, what do you mean? I go, I'd like to propose that. How about we just cut the rent in half for the first 2 months and see how it works? And they're like, well, why would I do that? I said, well, think about this. What if they don't pay you anything this month? Are you ahead? So they agreed, and it wasn't a hard sell. It was just questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for all the tenants. And it's amazing that we have yet to miss a payment.
Really?
Wow. Because we were so nice up front. And we told them that, we're not going to ask for that money at all unless you get that subsidy, because we let them know they had a county subsidy for $2,000, that if you got that subsidy, we would get it and we would credit to the rent, and we just show your ledger we have a credit. And we gave everybody that email and website to do it. And this whole time, we've never had a problem.
Really? And now, have you heard from other property managers in your circle that they've had a similar experience? Or?
So a lot of them didn't want to do that. They didn't want to discount rent. And they had to deal with tenants not paying, and now that they can evict, there's going to be a lot of evictions.
Yeah.
But it's always good to do some nice things if you can.
Yeah.
And I look at it, how many landlords that didn't collect rents that had mortgages on their properties?
Mm-hmm.
Because the people I deal with don't have mortgages, so it's profit.
Yeah, good. Hey, Tommy, we're going to have to take a very quick break here, but when we come back, we'll talk more about property management. And so we'll be right back right after this.
Hi, I'm Bill Risser, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast with Jim and Jerry. This place is amazing.
Hi, this is Jerry Johnson, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
I'm Jennifer DeRozier from Rose Tree Realty, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Realtors are well known in the community for pitching in to do whatever's needed, collecting donations for storm victims, cleaning our local waterways, and even clearing brush for needy homeowners. To recognize those who truly support their community, RPCRA has established the Blaine Elmer Good Neighbor Awards program to honor those whose service rises well above what's expected. Named after our president-elect, who tragically passed away earlier this year. The 2021 Blaine Elmer Good Neighbor Award will recognize deserving Realtor members who've made an extraordinary impact in the community. And to our members, please send us your nominations for the Blaine Elmer Good Neighbor Awards program by filling out the nomination form on our website, rpcra.org. Nominations will be accepted between October 1st and December 31st, 2021. We look forward to your nominations and we thank you in advance.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast talking to Tommy Senator. Tommy's talking about property management here in Southwest Florida, where he does that kind of thing. And he's got some interesting stories and tips about property management. Tommy, if I'm thinking about getting into property management, do you generally try to encourage people or say, think hard about it because it requires X, Y, and Z trait? You got to be tough. You got to be this. You got to be that.
Yes. Yeah, so when we tell people about property management, we tell them that there can't be any personality involved. You can't take it personal. You can't look at it as your home. So if you're the owner and the property manager, you have this personal connection. That's, you know, I put my blood, sweat, and tears fixing that place up, and I want someone to take care of it. And you need to understand, not that's going to happen, but you have to understand that someday, somehow, someone's going to damage your property. And if you're going to take it personal, hire a property manager.
Yeah, keep the emotion out of it, huh?
It is. And one of the things that we do is, you know, even though they could find out I'm the broker, they can't find out if I'm the owner of the property. And we do it through layers of LLCs and try to keep it hidden and concealed as best we can legally. And I always tell them that, you know, yes, I'm part owner of this property, but it's a family-owned business. And I'm just one of the family members, so I have to report to the other owners, you know, the other family members, and I can't tell them what to do. So when you tell me, you know, or ask me, can you give me a discount on rent, I have to go talk to the other family members.
So you've got that fiduciary responsibility, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's been established.
It is. And so what we don't tell them, that the family member is my wife.
Well.
But when they look it up online, they see a company, right? They'll see that the company name is called Clara Bancal and Associates. And they think that Clara Bancal is the lady that's in charge, right?
Yeah.
And when they call and ask for her, I know they have no idea who they're calling because Claire is my mother-in-law's first name.
Oh, exactly.
And Bancal is my mom's maiden name.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, you know, you've got to get creative sometime in business,
it
right?
It does. You know, so real quick is we had a tenant one time not want to pay rent, and it was around Thanksgiving. And we're like, look, you need to pay the rent. And now they've missed all of November, and now we're into the second week of December, and they still haven't paid rent. And I had to evict them. And the eviction took place on December 23rd. And someone says, well, how could you do that? That is so mean.
Tommy.
It is. But I tell them, you know, it's a business. You know, and it's like, do you want to have Christmas and my children don't have Christmas? Or should my children have Christmas and you got to figure out what to do? And I tell them, look, it's nothing personal. It's just business. Yeah, you know, we used to have a plaque in my office. It said, you need to pay your rent or buy a tent because nobody lives for free.
Wow, that's a good one. That is a good one. How many properties and units do you manage?
So right now, we kind of downsized. So we're only down to about 10 units.
10, yeah.
We used to have over 800.
800? That was up north?
No, here in Fort Myers.
Is this Section 8 down
here? So it was the middle, everything. We had the whole gambit. Wow. And what we would do is I would find the clients and help them buy properties that become rentals. Mm-hmm. So we would fix it up. We had a maintenance department and we had a construction department. So we'd fix the properties up and then we would manage them. And we built up this base. And it was really good for a while, except it just got too big. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big business kind of person. I've always liked the small boutique size.
More manageable, huh?
Right. I like to be hands-on control. You know, I micromanage. And that would require macro managing. And I discovered over time that the further I got away from it, the more bad things were happening. Mm. So we decided we'll shelve the whole thing. Sure. We got rid of all the property management properties. And then we started over.
Huh. Wow. Okay. So tell me this. How often, if I'm a tenant, how often should I expect you or your designee to show up and inspect things?
At least every 6 months.
And that's not a surprise inspection either, is it?
No, it's just going to be there. Now, can we do surprise inspections?
Can you?
Yes. So if you're in the area, you can stop and check. They don't have to let you in, but you can go and knock on the door. Say, hey, I'm in the area. I just want to know if there's any problems. How's everything going? And I've actually done that. If I'm in an area and I'm driving by a house or I'm two blocks from the house, I'll detour. I'll go look at the house. And if I see something out of order, I'm going to knock on the door.
Yeah, yeah. So what if you knock on a door and there's illegal drug activity that you observe somehow? What do you do with that?
Oh, it's just real easy. Go back to my truck, lock the doors, call 911 and report it. Now, I've done that.
Have you?
I've gone to a property that we were managing and the tenants had moved out. And I went to go just do a spot inspection. And I noticed that the front door was jimmied open. And someone had broke a key in the lock. That's really strange. So as I'm walking around the house, I walk into one of the rooms and I see there's an air mattress, two people sleeping inside. That was like 9 o'clock in the morning. So I just went back outside. I called Lee County Sheriff's Department and I just waited for them to show up.
Squatters, huh?
Squatters. And we had them arrested.
Really? Wow. My Lord, that is an interesting situation. Now, if I'm a tenant again, do I need to get renter's insurance? What's the law around that?
So there is no law. No so law. You're not required to. Landlords are required to suggest it because it's on our applications, right? Yeah, they say that you've been told that you should get renter's insurance, but you're not required to. And we let them know that we're going to cover the building, right? So our property owners should have a property damage and liability policy, which protects them if someone gets hurt in the property, that they're covered for lawsuits. And if there's damage, they're covered for damage. But any personal contents are not covered by the owner's insurance policy. So if there's a fire, they're out of luck. If there's a flood, which we have more often, they're out of luck.
Gotcha. All right. So occasionally you must have the problem tenant, and I'm sure you've dealt with that. And you probably know our friend Harry Heist.
Yes.
Who's an attorney who's got a website called evict.com, which is a very succinct website. Gets right to the point. Evict.com. Harry Heist. We've been trying to get Harry in the studio here for a bit. He's so busy, especially lately, with dealing with his legal work that it's been tough. But so if you do have to evict somebody, what are the perils around that? How does that normally go?
Well, you know, the good thing is, so you had mentioned Harry. So he's got a great website. You know, it's evict.com, I believe, right?
Evict.com.
And I've been on his site, and he gives you the instructions on how to go and serve the 3-day notice. I mean, he spells it out really carefully because he's going to take over and do the eviction for you, and he wants to make sure that part was done properly.
Yeah, get the ball rolling and
hand it
off.
I'm pretty sure he has that service he could do too, but he'll let a lot of the property managers do it. But you got to post it properly, right? And you got to give them the 3 days notice to respond or pay.
How do you contact them? Certified mail, that kind of thing?
No. So you could do certified mail, but we're mostly going to go to the property. That's going to be the most common way. And you want to physically serve the person, which means you're going to take a piece of paper, say, look, here's your 3-day notice to pay or vacate. Here you go. And I'll have a second copy of it, and I'm going to write down, I saw tenant Maisie, and I saw her at 3 o'clock on this date. And I sign it saying, I served them personally. And if they're not there, you got to paste it or tape it on the front door. And I like that big, wide blue painter's tape. Because I'll tape it all around the whole thing so it really stands out. So when they come in, they see it.
The shame factor.
It is, because everybody sees it. And I found that it's usually gone quickly. Mm-hmm. So, but if I'm going to post it on the door, as soon as I post it, I take a picture of it that I posted on the door and I make a note. I posted on the door at this date at this time. And then you got to wait 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then you can go to Harry and have them start the eviction process, which means they're going to go file a summons and complaint. And that'll give them a certain amount of time to go and respond to that.
Like days, weeks, months?
Yeah, it's just going to be days.
Days, okay.
I'm trying to think, what was it? I think it was 10-day sticks in my head. It's on the form, so I'll tell you, if I'm ever going to have to do it, it's there. But they do it for you. Uh-huh. But typically, from start to finish, you could get it done in a month. Because after you, what's going to happen is they get served a summons and complaint. Their choice is to respond or not respond. If they respond, then you're going to end up going to court, right? And you're going to have them represent you and be there and go and argue the case. More likely than not, tenant's going to lose. But what happens a lot of time is they don't show up. And if they don't show up, it's an automatic default judgment. And then you can go and go back into the process, and you can serve what they call or request a judgment for default with the final judgment and a writ of possession. Right? So that writ of possession allows you to go to the sheriff's department and have them go there to make sure the place is vacated. And if anybody there, they're going to escort them out to the curb.
The sheriff's department will do that for you.
They do, well, you pay them.
You pay them to do this. Okay.
I believe their fee is $80 per person.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad.
No.
I would have guessed more.
Well, think about this. So would you rather go there by yourself, or you want a law enforcement officer with a gun to go there for you?
Yeah, yeah. You're a tough guy, Tommy, but if I'm you, I'm bringing the police.
Yeah, I want that extra protection.
Sure.
So I've done it, and it's funny because you have different officers, and it's amazing. They're all outstanding, right? And, they know why we're there. They know what's going on. They know the tenant didn't pay, and they feel bad for us. And I've had some that just go in there and just check it out, just calling out for people. And then I had another one, I don't know why, he went in with his gun drawn.
Oh, geez.
So I'm like, you know what? I think I'll step back this time. Because usually I'm right at the front door waiting. But that was just kind of
He must have had reason to believe there's going to be trouble, huh?
He probably had one where somebody was in there and fought back. And that's a tough job.
I would not want to do that.
I appreciate.
Thankfully, they do.
Yeah, everything they do, we totally appreciate it. So it's amazing. But as soon as we go in here, we change the locks, right? And they're going to post it on there that the eviction has been served, and now this is the property of the landlord. And anybody that's now on the property is a trespasser. So I can call the sheriff back and have them arrested for trespassing. But 30 days, you can get it done.
Really? Now, you must hear some sob stories from time to time. I'm guessing you've heard a lot of sob stories. Are you ever swayed by a sob story? Please don't have me evicted because I X,
So I have been a little bit lenient, and I will give them until I change the locks to leave.
Not that soft to touch, huh?
No. So can I just have an extra day? Well, here's the problem. If I give them an extra day, my writ of possession is void. I got to refile again because it says it's going to be, it's usually 9 o'clock. So it's going to be Wednesday at 9 a.m. Sheriff's going to be there. You're going to get possession at 9 a.m. If you decide not to take possession, do it again, which means it might take me another week. So I tell them, because the officer's going to stay there till I'm leaving, right? And I either have to have a locksmith or do it myself. And changing locks, I'm not going to pay a locksmith to do it.
Yeah.
You know what? Four locks, piece of
paper. Sure. Even I've done that. Yeah.
And if I take my time, it could take me a half hour, right? So I asked the officer, do you mind if you just wait till I change these locks till she gets her stuff out? He goes, I'm here until you leave. He's like, okay. And the deal was, when I'm done, she's got to be off the property. And if not, she was going to get arrested.
Yeah.
But you got to be like that because, that old saying, give an inch, they'll take a mile.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll do that every time.
They'll do it repeatedly.
Yeah. I've actually given an inch and bad people take a mile. So I know exactly what you mean. So if the tenant says, well, I got to get my stuff out. What do you do with that?
So that's fine. They can leave it there. Yeah. I'm going to lock it up and I tell them you can come back tomorrow to be on the curb.
And you or your designee puts it on the curb?
Yeah. So we're required by law to put it on the curb.
What if they have a house full of stuff and it's a huge job?
Then stay by the curb.
Wow.
We've had that. We had some nice things there. And it was funny. I had one of the workers say, can I have that? Nope. It's got to be there because I'm going to take a picture. When I put it on the curb, I'm taking a photograph.
Yeah.
And I left everything there. What you do once I'm gone, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make sure it's all there.
Call me next time you do this.
Yeah.
Depending on the neighborhood.
What if somebody does come by and steal and they see all that stuff out there right after you leave?
I've had that. The law states I got to put it on the curb. Doesn't mean I have to protect it, but I got to get it out of the house.
Well, stuff on the curb is fair game, right? Finders keepers.
Well, think about this. So when a tenant is going to be forced out and they're leaving ahead of time, you know what they're going to do. The stuff they don't want, it's either left inside or it lines up the whole front of the house. So whenever you see all that furniture and belongings all across the front yard, We call that a clean out was done, either pre or post eviction.
Yeah. Okay. I on my way home, I see that thing, and that stuff's been there for weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why doesn't the city pick this stuff up?
Because they won't.
They won't pick up abandoned property?
No. So it has to be in garbage cans, or it won't be picked up.
That's, yeah. We mentioned that, I think, in the last show. Yeah.
So there's a way around that, though.
Oh, really? What's the way around?
Right. So I've had to go and clean out a house, and I didn't have any way to take everything. So I wait till the garbage men come with $40. And it's amazing, because it's going to be two people there, right? Yeah. The driver and a person. Sure. It's amazing what $20 a person will do.
Really? That's
they
cheap.
Will take it all.
That's
well, because what if the county does it for you? That's going to be a several $100 fine.
Wow. Huh.
So just guide it when the garbage gotcha. Gets picked up and just be there with some money.
Now, Jerry, you've actually been involved in the property management business yourself, come to think of it, right? You've told me
way
stories.
Way back when.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah, my father had one. Yeah.
Yeah, but you used to take care of that
stuff. Yeah, high school is one of my first jobs. Yeah. I worked for my father, and he'd have rentals, triplexes and such, and I would be the one to go in when the tenants move out and gut it, and it usually wasn't pleasant.
Huh. Oh, the old clean out when
clean
it's
out.
Evicted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So based on that, we ended up buying one of those called a dump trailer, so one of those hydraulic lifts, because we were doing so many of these eviction clean outs. Because the problem is, you know, you got to take it, and you're not going to leave it to curb. So you can go up to, I guess it's Fort Myers, Lehigh area, the recycling plant, and you can get it dumped. It's really cheap. So I could take the whole contents of a house, and it may cost $60, $70 tops.
Oh, okay.
But if you have a regular truck and a trailer and you put it all in, well, it's easy to put it in. It's not so easy to take it out.
You want the hydraulic.
So I ended up buying a dump trailer, which holds about, I guess, about 5 yards.
Really?
And I can feel it. And all I do is when I'm done, I just open the back gate, I hit a button, it lifts it up, and it just dumps it out.
It slides right off.
That's pretty handy.
It is.
That is very
well
nice.
Worth that investment.
Hey, Tommy, one last question before we wrap things up here. How hard is it if I want to become a property manager? We talked about some of the requirements or non-requirements, but is this a super challenging job, or is this something anyone can do if they want to work hard?
I think anybody can do it if they work hard. Just follow a lot of the certain rules and parameters. Mm-hmm. Like, don't commingle funds. So if you're going to be getting rents, you're going to get security, you're going to get maintenance, it's got to go in an escrow account, which means it's money that's not yours. Mm-hmm. If you have an operating account, well, that would come from your commissions. And you got to do is make sure that it goes in the escrow, because escrow means it's not your money. Most beginning property managers make that fatal mistake. They just don't know why. You know, I have this account, and it's just for rents, but I also pay my bills from that. Well, you can't. That's commingling of funds.
Yeah.
So, you got to have a good software program.
Yeah.
The best one out there might be AppFolio, which is really good.
AppFolio. Okay.
And you just make sure that, you know, you're organized. You know, because if you're doing a handful of properties, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
You start getting like 20 and 30 properties. You definitely need to be organized. You need to have maybe a bookkeeper to help you keep it all financially organized.
Uh-huh. Now, one last thing. I said one last question before, but I lied.
But one more.
One more. I'm Columbo here. One more question. Did you kill him? Now, some states are more tenant-friendly than others. Some are more landlord-friendly. How would you characterize Florida?
So we are going to be more landlord-friendly.
Uh-huh.
So if the landlord's doing their job right, you get the evictions, no problem. So when I was in New Jersey, it was more tenant-friendly, and landlords were not looked kindly upon.
They were the man, right?
Right. You know, and one of the things, like, we want to go and make sure that if we're going to go to eviction court, we want to get all our fees. You know, and I got this from Heist, you know, one of their little webinars they did, that you can't collect damages, you can't collect late fees. They're just not allowed in the court. Mm. You're only allowed to collect rents. And one of the tips I picked up is if you call everything additional rents, well, then you claim it when you go to eviction court. So a late fee is not a late fee. It's additional rents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, damage is additional rents.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Hey, Tommy, if people want to talk to you about property management or anything else, get in touch with you, how would they do that? How do you reach Tommy Senator?
Oh, you can do it either by my cell phone, which is 239-223-8130. And I have my email, which is like our website. So it's T.Senator, that's Senator with an E on the end, at BellaCasaServices.com. And Bella was two L's.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. Now, do you get called Senatore a lot?
I do, but it'd be Senatore.
Senatore.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, gotcha. All right. Hey, I want to thank Jerry Johnson for doing a great job again today.
Well, thank you for thanking me. And thank you, Jim.
No, Jerry. Jerry, I'm
your
here
talent and
to
skills
serve.
Are always appreciated.
I'm here to serve. Thank you very much.
You serve well.
And I want to thank the whole staff here at RPCRA for all of their support. And I want to thank you, dear listener, for finding us on your podcast machine. We do appreciate that. And if you're enjoying the show, please tell a friend. And if you're moved to do so, please let us know how you feel about the show and maybe topics or guests you'd like to see on the show. You can send us an email to shows@rpcra.org. All right, that'll do it for us. I'm Jim Sandville along with Jerry Johnson, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.